All right, everyone, and welcome to episode 25 of the Porchcast. We are coming to you recorded from STEM Ciders.
It's live for us.
That's right. We're really excited to be joined by the STEM Cider team, and we're going to dive more into that shortly with a big announcement on their behalf. But before we get into it, I want to definitely throw a big shout out to First Draft Tap Room and Kitchen, located at 1309 26th Street. That's 26th and Larimer, right here in downtown Denver. They are your pour your own draft system, what we like to refer to as the adult version of Froyo. So it's an adult Froyo with beer, 40 taps. We've got beer, wine, cider, of course, and all sorts of goodies that you can scan with a little RFID chip to measure how much you're dispensing from the machine. Measure however much you want. You can taste and try as many different beers as possible. Head down to First Draft Tap Room and Kitchen. But let's jump right into why we're here today. Guys, you want to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, sure. My name is Eric Foster. I'm one of the co-founders of STEM.
My name is Ryan Means. I'm the resident armadillo wrangler at STEM Ciders.
Cool. I'm Phil Cow, and I'm one of the co-founders of STEM, too.
I'm Courtney O'Rourke. I am the director of cider relations here at STEM Ciders.
All right, we've got a full crew here with us today, and then also joined our two co-hosts. I don't think this is the first time we've had a full team of co-hosts, right?
Feels yeah. pretty special.
It's yeah,
we're finally all together.
It's yeah. it's like Transformers. They're all like coming together, or like no. Actually, I'm
Voltron,
thinking,
man.
Yeah, Voltron. That's right. They're coming together, forming the full team. We've got right. an all-star cast
for Captain Planet.
Yeah.
Robotech.
Yeah.
All the kid cartoons.
Care Bears.
Saturday mornings. Care Bears. Maybe that should be our new nickname.
Like, all right.
We're the Care Bears of the podcasting
it,
world.
It's because we care.
That's right.
We don't have dark hearts. We're into that.
Yeah, for sure. We're also joined by the construction crew back here. They're making this an extra special broadcast.
That's Tom on the saw. Go, Tom.
Tom, take it away.
Killing it, man.
Yeah, riffing with that solo. That's rocking hard. All right, guys, let's get right into things. You all have a very special announcement that just actually went live today. Can you all tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, what I would say is that we have two new partners, and we're really excited about it. We have partnered first and foremost with Breakthrough Beverage to distribute us throughout the state of Colorado, and we're really excited to be working with them. And then the other partner that we're really excited to announce is that we will be working with Odell Brewing Company. And Odell Brewing Company is going to be representing our brand alongside theirs through the state of Colorado. And we're very excited for both of these partnerships and the growth and excitement that's going to come.
So, for those who aren't too familiar with how this relationship works, can you tell us a little bit about how, I guess, what role Breakthrough is going to be playing and what role Odell is going to be playing with distribution and sales?
Sure, absolutely. I'll start with Odell. So, Odell is going to assist us on really the sales and merchandising and rep side of the business. So, they're going to be working with Ryan, our resident armadillo wrangler, to really drive awareness about our brand and do tastings in store. And really just educate people on STEM ciders. Breakthrough is going to be our distributor. So the way distributor works is we essentially ship our product directly to them, and then they also have their own reps in the field, and we'll be working with local accounts, both on and off premise, to make sure that our product gets placed in those retail environments.
Really cool. And, you know, a lot of what has allowed this to happen has been your all's growth over the past few years. Can you tell us a little bit about that, both from, you know, increasing your all's volume and also now reaching to this point where you can really get out in the market?
Yeah, well, I guess we're coming up on year three. And when we started, we were really just looking at a taproom concept to see how cider was going to be received in Colorado and, more importantly, how dry craft ciders were received in Colorado. And what we found quite quickly is that it was received very well, especially here in Rhino. It's a great neighborhood, progressive neighborhood, and a lot of great beverages being made here. So it was a fun place for us to kind of grow up. And I would say over the last 3 years, we've just continued to grow. I think we've doubled every year, and we're going to be on pace to do that this year for 2016 as well. So as we look to with these new partners that we have and the capabilities that we're going to have to increase production, we're really excited about the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I know that the goal is to be throughout the state of Colorado fully. Is that correct with this announcement?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. So initially, with Breakthrough, we're statewide. With Odell, we are also statewide from a rep standpoint. I think there's opportunities in the future for us and Odell to continue our relationship outside of Colorado. But right now, we're focused on Colorado. At this point, we're heavy Denver Metro. We have a few accounts kind of up north and down as far south as Colorado Springs. But our goal now is to really get statewide and ingrained in the community further.
Cool. Now, for those who aren't as familiar with Stem Cider, they're in different parts of the state, or maybe they're out of the state listening to this podcast. Can you tell us a little bit about the actual cider itself? Tell us what kind of helped to get this project started. What was your all's mission in creating these craft dry ciders, and what can people expect now throughout the state?
Well, from day one, this is Phil. We opened with dry cider in mind.
Yeah.
We really wanted to.
So it's not the sugary kind of like super sweet cider that people are used to from some of the bigger brands that are out there, right?
We were not making Smirnoff Ice.
Delicious.
We're trying to. we wanted to showcase what an apple really tasted like when it was fermented. We wanted to really stay close to what we thought was, the pinnacle of what an apple could become.
Sure.
Really we've gone from just a straight fermented apple to, wine barrel aged to, other fruit additions co-fermented. But really we're trying to, just stay really close to the apple.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you mentioned barrel aged stuff. Can you touch on a little bit on the barrel aging program and I guess what that really does to the cider? Because I remember when I first started coming in here a few years ago, you all had maybe a few barrels hanging around. Now that entire wall that we walk into, it's full of barrels. It's you guys have really grown that program.
That's just one wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the only one you see.
Yeah, we've got, a lot of our barrels out here are Le Chêne. They're red wine barrels. We use Michigan apples, which have a little bit higher tannin from just the breed of apple that they are, and a little bit softer acidity, different style of apple than really what we think of when we think like Golden Delicious, Red Delicious, stuff.
Sure.
The Michigan apples, they kind of have their own style and their own flavor. You can kind of pick it out if you drink a lot of Michigan ciders that kind of all have a nice, really light profile to them.
You will also do some bourbon barrel aging and other harder spirit bourbon harder spirit barrel aging as well, right?
Yeah. So we've done a while ago, we did a lot of Banjo. Everyone loved it so much we can't make it ever again. But I'm lying. There's 8 barrels sitting over there.
Sure.
Everyone just gasped. They were like, "What? Yeah.
Where's the Banjo?"
It's a fan favorite for sure.
Yeah.
We're waiting patiently on that.
Sure.
The harder spirits, they play really nicely with the apple. The apples are pretty light and flavored, and they really pick that up pretty nicely.
Absolutely. So kind of along that same vein, with this kind of expansion and growth in sales, are we going to get to see some new brands appearing here soon?
Yeah, absolutely. We have some cool stuff in development right now. And
you don't have to go into detail, but you can at least maybe give us a little heads up of, how many brands that you're currently at right now and maybe what to expect in the near future.
Sure. We've got, right now we have 6 core brands, 3 available in cans, 3 available in bottles, and 500 ml bottles. And then we've got a variety of seasonals and special releases in the Cider Cellar series. I think you'll definitely see some additional seasonals that are more regularly repeated in the coming years as our ability to produce increases. And then I would say probably what we're most excited about is as we get into our expansion and eventually a new facility here, this facility here downtown, we're going to keep for wild fermentation and focus on some experimental sours and some Brett cider. So it should be really cool to see what happens with that. We hope it's good.
Yeah, Brett cider. I mean, it's interesting that people ask sometimes why we touch on ciders and cover ciders on our website, but in a lot of ways, it's very similar to beer. And I think that, you know, we talked about barrel aging, both wine and spirits. Also, now with this with the addition of Brett, I mean that's pretty much dead on. Like, tell us what to expect from that.
Well, I wish I could.
Yeah.
It'll be a lot more funky. That's for sure. Phil can probably chime in a little bit too. But I think you know, you touched on, you know, cider, or you at least insinuated cider, kind of similar to beer and how you can experiment with it. And I think you definitely can.
Yeah.
I think there's really two classifications of cider makers. I mean, there's kind of the folks that treat cider a little bit like beer and folks that treat cider a little bit like wine.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're somewhere in the middle. We have some of your classic traditional style ciders, and then we've got some fun progressive ciders that kind of push the bar and can be playful.
Cool. Now, along with that, along with this big announcement, you all have kind of gone through a pretty extensive rebranding on a lot of the labels. You've just relaunched the website. Tell us a little bit about some of that and kind of what this means from a bigger scale, on a bigger picture.
Yeah, and I'll probably let Courtney touch on this a bit, but the rebrand was a long time coming. I realize we're only 3 years old, but we started our original branding just in-house, and I think it was good for the time, but as our brand has grown and as our goals have changed a little bit, need for rebrand has come up. But I'll let Courtney talk about that.
Yeah, so we've been working with a design company, Matter Design, down on Market Street here, and they have really brought the brand to a place that it's fruit forward and it's fresh and bright and clean, that goes so well with how our cider is. I think if you look at the history, specifically the Stem Cider's Instagram account, and if you look in the early days and then where we're at now, it's all just kind of weaved together and come together in a really cohesive way that really speaks to what we're trying to do here.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We just launched our website just a couple days ago, and we've gotten really great positive feedback from everybody, so we're really excited about that.
And in addition to all of this, along the way, you all have done a lot to propel the growth of cider as a whole throughout the Denver community. Can you all touch a little bit more both on brand outreach and education, and also a little bit about a big event that you guys have been working on, Cidergrass, correct?
Cidergrass, yeah. Take this one, Ryan.
So as far as sales and brand outreach go, you know, our whole goal is to show people, like, there is a different side to cider. It doesn't, like you said previously, you know, it doesn't have to be a sugary kind of sweet apple juice with a little bit of alcohol.
Yeah.
Inside of it, no, it can definitely be a kind of a dry, enjoyable drink that you can have many of without, you know, feeling that horrible sugar hangover in the morning. So that's kind of one thing that we really try to push, is that, you know, we use exclusively fresh juice. We never use, you know, concentrate or extract. That's just not. There are plenty of people out there who do a decent job of that, but it's just not what we believe in. So we believe in using fresh juice without added sugar or artificial sweetener, vaccine, anything like that. So we really try to push that into the market a little bit. And I've seen it kind of boom in the Denver area. People appreciate it. People appreciate the fact that we're able to add, you know, Cascade and Citra hops into a cider and kind of cater to a different community than our typical cider drinker. And I say, you know, typical meaning, you know, maybe somebody who's not as familiar with craft cider as, you know, some other people, but we're able to kind of branch out a little bit and show people and stretch our legs a little bit and kind of show people, like, hey, we believe that this is the way cider should be made.
Yeah, and from an outreach standpoint, I think it's important to note that, you know, this is really what we believe cider should be made from. You know, a good cider is nothing more than the sum of its parts. And so if you start with high quality ingredients and use those and work with those throughout the fermentation process, you're going to come out with a great product. And I think, you know, there's been some interesting changes in the cider world as of late, one of them being the Cider Act, which allows us to increase our carbonation, it allows us to increase our alcohol percentage. But I don't think it went far enough really to discuss what cider is. And so what we're saying to the world is that this is cider. So this is craft cider. And I think there's been, over the last few years specifically, a lot of confusion about what cider is and where cider came from and where cider is.
What is that confusion, if you don't mind diving into that a little bit more?
I won't get too in detail, but I think a lot of the confusion was brought to the marketplace by big brands.
Yeah.
And you can figure out who those are. We're playing out one of them. And I think now some of the confusion with the consumer is that big brands means, let me just refer to it this way, smaller brands is craft cider. And that's not always the case. What we're finding now is a lot of smaller cideries opening up that are utilizing those same fermentation techniques and those same ingredients that the larger mass-produced ciders are using under the guise of craft. We find it frustrating, a bit offensive, and what we're trying to educate people is that large doesn't mean bad.
Sure.
Small doesn't mean craft. In fact, there's some really cool stuff going on, you know, like with Ryan Burke at Angry Orchard and their new test cidery that they've got. And so, again, large does not mean bad, and small does not mean craft.
Sure.
So really look at the ingredients that are in your cider. That's one of the things about cider, is that your ingredients are listed on the bottle. Pay attention to that. I mean, you wouldn't beer. You should in cider as well.
That's really interesting.
It's got to be pretty difficult to continue to educate folks when there's not style breakdowns. There's not really a sommelier or cicerone of the cider world. You know, and obviously, you know, just looking at you guys and knowing that you guys are dedicated to reviving the cider tradition, it's important that, you know, that we also notice you guys are trying to push that quality and style and tradition and provide education at the same time as making the actual product, which we think is really important. That's something that's always driven me to, you know, come here and grab ciders. It's not only the actual product and how great that is, but also some of the education and some of the pairings and things that you guys do with some of those things. You can find a lot of that stuff on our event calendar because we think that stuff's important, and making sure that your folks know what they're getting is really important.
Yeah, and we certainly appreciate it. And, you know, it's good to hear you say that. I mean, it's great to hear that. I mean, and I think as an industry, we've grown quite rapidly in the last few years, and we haven't done a good job of organizing ourselves and coming up with classifications of what cider is and how cider should be, you know, described. I mean, even at the highest level, you know, when you look at legislation around cider, it's not even clearly defined what cider is,
right.
Or at least not to the definition level that I would expect it to. So I think there's a lot of attention industry-wide on that right now, trying to figure out, you know, is this going to be a terroir-based classification? Because, I mean, it definitely plays into, you know, the product because it is fruit-based, it's seasonal. Terroir definitely, you know, plays into the quality of the fruit. Or is this going to be more classified like beer is? And stay tuned, I guess. I don't think any of us have the answer right now, and it's a big focus for the U.S. Association of Cider Makers.
Cool. Now, the one branding confusion I have right now is the fact that Ryan isn't wearing any Cubs gear. This is like the first time I've ever seen him. Yeah, or any STEM gear for that matter. But more importantly, we are on the cusp of history here with the Cubs, and you're not supporting the team. What's going on?
So, I have a theory, and the theory is that the world, maybe the Cubs organization, is killing off celebrities. Like, if you look at 2016, we've lost a lot of really, really great people.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Gene Wilder, most recently. But the theory is that the Cubs, or the world, it doesn't really matter, are killing off some of our most well-known, most beloved celebrities as a sacrifice.
Oh, really?
So the Cubs can win. The Cubs will win the World Series. There's no doubt about it. It's time. I mean, look at their lineup. It's unbelievable. It's ridiculous.
So we have on record now that Ryan Means is endorsing the fact that the Cubs are sacrificing celebrities. So any deaths
to the ancient ones.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Any deaths that occur from henceforth throughout the year of 2016.
I think Sandberg's next, honestly.
Really?
I mean, as much as the next person.
They're going all in on this.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Wow. That's
Where's Ernie
insane.
Banks?
Are they draining the life force from Sammy Sosa's skin? Is that why he's?
I mean, people say bleach. I say the universe. It doesn't matter.
The universe is just sucking him from all of his home runs that he's knocked out of the park.
Well, I mean, allegedly knocked out of the park. That allegedly. Was a tainted time in Cubs history. I think this is it. I mean, we poached Dexter Fowler from. I think that it was a long time coming. I know that Dexter Fowler went from the Rockies to the Astros, and now he's with the Cubs. And I think that's a. I think that's a gift from the heavens,
yeah.
Personally.
Now, kind of going back to what we were talking about before we went on this Cubs tangent, Cidergrass. Tell me a little bit about that. What can people expect from Cidergrass, especially this year coming up soon? Courtney, you want to
talk about Cidergrass?
Yeah.
So Cidergrass is basically just a continuation of what we previously called the Stem Ciders Harvest Festival. It's really just a celebration of cider and fall and family. And so we've had it for the last 2 years. The first year, we expected a few hundred people to show up. We had about 1,500 people. Last year, we thought, okay, we're going to be prepared this year. So we were planning on 15 to 2,000. We had 3,200 people. And so this year, we kind of took a step back and looked at the festival and how we were operating it and what we were doing with it. And we wanted to make it more community involved. And so we rebranded it first and foremost as Cidergrass, because it's really a celebration of cider, music, and the fall. And I think all of those things are really captured with the name. And additionally, we've decided to make the event a benefit for a charity, a great charity actually, the Candade Foundation. So we are, we're throwing a huge party on October 8th. We'll have, I think, 6 or 7 bands playing, all bluegrass, as per the norm here at STEM. And we're really excited. We'll have a bunch of food trucks and tons of cider and lots of people. So put it on your calendars and plan on coming out and hanging out with us.
All right.
October 8th.
October 8th, Cidergrass, right here at STEM Cider. That's really exciting. Now, for those of you who listening out there, for those who are listening out there who want to find out a little bit more about STEM Cider, where can they go? What should they follow?
STEMCiders.com.
STEMCiders.com, and also
find out all about our events in the tap room, all of our social handles across the web. We are at STEM Ciders.
Fantastic. And also, for those who enjoy what you're listening via our Porchcast, be sure to follow us on porchdrinking.com. We have plenty more information on there. We'd love for you to reach out to us via Twitter and you know, share whatever's on your mind. Maybe we'll touch on it on our next Porchcast.
There you go.
What do you know?
Yeah. So you all talked a little bit about using a variety of different hops. I got, you know, one part of what we do on this Porchcast is we always share some of the interesting things that have happened to us, and a lot has happened in, between our last interview with Black Project and where we are today. I think that was, what, three, four weeks ago?
Yeah, it was a while.
Yeah.
3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago, that's right. So I just got back from a whirlwind trip, and I wanted to touch on that a little bit because it was really, really interesting, very stark contrast in the two worlds, and you guys are welcome to chime in on whatever observations, but I basically last weekend did a trip to New York to visit my cousin who was visiting New York from Hong Kong, and then from there I visited the Goose Island Hop Farms in Idaho. So two very different places. Have you guys been out to New York much?
I'm from upstate, but downstate not as much.
I'm a New Yorker.
Different worlds.
You're a New Yorker?
Yeah.
You guys are in Michigan, correct?
Originally.
Yeah, I've been to Manhattan quite a few times.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's really only the third time I've ever been to New York. And the first two times were just really overwhelming. And I think it just wasn't really the place for me. But this time I kind of came around to it and saw a lot. You know, we did a lot of a few touristy things. But my cousin was staying in Flushing, which is basically like Chinatown. It's crazy. Like, all the buildings were labeled in Chinese. I heard and saw more Chinese than any other place that I've ever been, aside from China itself. And, you know, people, like, a lot of the buildings actually require Chinese signage for a lot of their residents.
That's where
crazy.
Action Bronson's from.
Oh,
so,
yeah?
He's from Cushing, and so that's pronouncing it correctly,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, that's right.
So he's always grabbing hot buns and doing all this stuff there, and I'm always like, man, I want to be Action Bronson. I kind of already look like him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bam Bam Baklava on Instagram.
Dude, it was awesome because instead of grabbing late night pizza, my cousin was like, let's grab late night, what is it? Not ramen, but rice porridge.
Oh yeah,
congee.
Congee, that's right.
Congee. Yeah. Shifen, man.
Dude, that's what I call it. So that's why Shifen. Yeah, that's right. Late night congee. So yeah, that New York trip was crazy. And then, you know, I'm gonna be touching on this in a larger post here soon. But the latter portion of my trip, I was flown out to Bonner's Ferry, Idaho. Long day of travel. I was picked up at 5 a.m., taken to the airport in Newark, flew out to Spokane, Washington, took a helicopter to Bonner's Ferry, and then we were basically wine and dine the entire weekend off of Anheuser-Busch's dime, because these are the hot farms that are directly flowing into all of the high-end brands. So Tim Barrel, Goose Island, Golden Road, now Breckenridge, of course. But really interesting, 1,700 acres of hop farms.
Is that it?
Yeah, yeah. The world's largest contiguous hop farm.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, insanity. They had 10...
What did you do with all those hops?
I had no idea. This is news to me.
Yeah, 10 core hops as like their commercial hops, 108 experimental hops being developed out there. It was it was really, really an insane experience.
Those would be proprietary.
Yeah, wow. Absolutely. So they're developing a lot of these proprietary strains for you know, private companies, and you know, testing them out, utilizing a lab to kind of analyze. And one thing that I found really, really interesting as well was the fact that, you know, a lot of these hops have a shelf life, and you know, they talked about Cascade eventually going out and not being able to survive due to kind of lowered resistance to disease, and also not yielding as much.
And everyone uses them, including stem ciders.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. But it's really interesting to hear, you know, how they're planning to test on similar hops that provide, you know, equivalent taste profiles that they can eventually substitute in and out as these hop life forms kind of dwindle.
This is so fascinating to me. So all those experimental varieties, they can't use them all. I can't imagine that they would.
No,
are they going to be selling them to craft brewers for testing?
Yeah, and I also think that they work with a lot of families like that own these proprietary strands, and they can help develop them for those other farms. But yeah, it's all kind of like utilizing the lab to kind of test their viability and seeing where they can go from there. So not all of those strands will necessarily come to full fruition, but yeah.
Was the pelletizing facility just massive?
Yeah, we didn't really see much of the pelletizing, but we just walked through the fields. We walked through the plant where they actually, like, you know, harvested and de-leaved them and kind of, you know, brought them to that form. But we didn't actually see any of the pelletizing happening per se. But yeah, it was crazy. Goose Island, and I think it's interesting because earlier that week I had a chance to interview Meg Gill from Golden Road, also Garrett Wales from Tim Barrel, and then Todd Usry from Breckenridge. And we'll have, that's all kind of working into this larger piece that I'm working on. But the Anheuser-Busch company is not really holding back on the fact that they have a lot of resources.
Right.
And that was very clearly evident when we arrived for this trip, because they said that we were glamping, and that was true. That was true to the full extent. Every journalist that they brought out there had their own tent with a king size bed inside
what?
Of it. And
this
yeah.
is where we cue in the song Money.
Yeah.
But
unabashedly yeah. just throwing, you know, all of their resources out there and being like, hey, we're Anheuser-Busch. We can afford the finest resources. We can afford the best hops. We can afford, you know, great equipment. And you'll see in the post that it's really interesting once a brand goes from acquisition to being onboarded, all the little steps that are involved in QC check and running through what exact needs they have from an equipment standpoint talking about rollout to other markets and distribution and you know, also what resources they need in terms of supplies and hops and whatnot. It's all built in, into the system, and it's really, really...
Were those 1,700 acres tied together?
Yeah.
One. So were they, did they have single individual families running a particular portion?
Yeah,
of
yeah, they definitely separate the fields. I mean, like, it's they have different sections for different varieties. But it's really interesting, too, because a lot of those brands will get the opportunity to... Tin Barrel, for example, if they wanted their Cascade hops with a little different kind of note on it, they'll leave. Maybe they're wanting more of a kind of a oniony taste to it. They'll request to those farmers that they leave those Cascade hops for on the vine for a little bit longer time and a little past their due date. Versus you know, Goose Island, for their Goose Island IPA, maybe they want the same exact hop but different profile. So they'll pick them at a different time period as well. So it's all kind of really, really well coordinated and really interesting to hear from the farmers themselves about, like, what, you know, what's exactly is involved in the hop picking process.
And I'm wondering if there's any of this cannibalization that happens sometimes with bigger brands and smaller brands in the cider world. I know it's obviously a smaller world, but do you guys have anything like that happens? Do you guys hear of that kind of stuff in the industry yet?
Because AB has acquired a craft cider brand.
Virtue, yeah. They acquired Virtue from Greg Hall. Yeah, I wouldn't say to the same degree that's going on. Yeah. And I would say it's, you know, Crispin was acquired by Miller Coors quite a while ago. But, you know, I don't think we've seen a mass consolidation in our industry as we are seeing in the beer industry right now. That being said, it'll be interesting to see where it goes.
Absolutely. And also a part of that trip was this kind of, we were gathered around in the evening. The hop farms are actually called, are based at the base of Elk Mountain. And so it was Elk Mountain Hop Farms. And we were sitting down in the evening. They brought in this this chef from Sante Restaurant right in Bonner's Ferry. Or actually, I think they're based out of Spokane. But anyway, they were breaking down an entire elk and kind of showing us this breakdown process. And essentially, they pulled some of us journalists aside and were like, hey, don't say anything. Come with us. And, you know, we're out in the middle of nowhere. There's not much we can really say to dissent.
That sounds like the film Taken.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
wait a second.
We all hop into
a... This is very GF.
Yeah. Breakdown. So we all hop into a bunch of gators, and they're taking us into the hop fields at 10 o'clock at night. It's pitch dark. And we're like, oh, shit, what's going on here? Are they just, like, trying to lure us into the thought of, like, ooh, maybe there's Bourbon County Rare in the fields, and they're all going to go murder all the journalists. And so we pull up to this rundown little shed in the middle of the hot fields, and I'm like, oh, shit, this is really where it's going to end.
That's where it is.
They've read enough of our read enough of our articles talking about their infection, and they're going to murder us right now. And so they open the door, and sure enough, there's Bourbon County Rare, there's proprietors from 2 years ago, and there's Vanilla Rye from last year. And
sucks.
It's insane. And the director of operations and the head brewer of Goose Island are both just standing there pouring us these beers.
Sounds horrible.
It
sounds like a really
insane.
Bad experience.
So, I mean...
May the big beer, craft beer debate go from here.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean...
Secret sheds of delicious beer
I know,
stashed away.
I know that people are going to... When the full post actually comes out, it's going to be interesting to see a lot of the reactions. But really... I think that it's not just black and white when it comes to big beer. I think that from a resources standpoint, it's very true that they offer, you know, a brewery. If you're a head brewer of a brewery and you're all of a sudden offered unlimited resources, then it's hard to really turn that down. They put a lot of people into business. There's a lot of jobs created, but they've also, you know, dropped a lot of jobs. It was just announced that they're going to be cutting over 5,000 jobs. After the Miller Coors acquisition overseas.
And it's just like any other job or position, you know, if you get offered a little bit more money for doing quality work. You know, Tom on the saw back there sounds like he just quit this construction site.
Yeah.
And might have moved on to another one. Yeah. So,
well, I mean, look,
you got a little bit more money.
They wrote us $1 billion check. And
right.
They still won't cash it.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Pete Kors, if you're listening, anybody, just whatever. I'll take the $1 because you keep the billion.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, speaking of some of the new stuff that's happening with you guys, tell us a little bit about the printing company that you guys are starting.
For the longest time, we talked about starting our own like record label under the Call to Arms umbrella, just a fun way to branch out a little bit. That proved to be a little tricky, so kind of went back to what we were good at, and we've got some background in writing.
You mean Nathaniel Ratliff didn't just call you back? And
long story. Apparently, he doesn't like beer. We'll see.
Oh, man.
Anywho,
no, so it's coffee. Yeah,
all right,
it's coffee.
You're just gonna have to start a distillery now.
Yeah. Yes, Andy likes cider from what I hear. From what he told me.
Of course, who
doesn't? So, Call to Arms Presswork, we launched that at the Denver Fleet a couple weeks ago, and we're gonna be publishing poetry books, greeting cards, comic books, short stories. Just a fun way to just really build on the creativity that exists here in Denver and Colorado, and still kind of, you know. I mean, bring a little attention to Call to Arms, but at the same time, just have fun with the brand and create some fun stuff. So we got 9 greeting cards and 2 poetry books for sale now, and it's been a lot of fun.
Cool. That just goes to show that even, like, you know, every millennial has a side hustle, even a brewer. So it's,
I just thought of the zine that I want to make. It's called Zomboni. It's zombies playing hockey. It's going to be amazing. That's copyrighted. Don't you just try and take that.
We were talking to Best about making a zine, and Zach from True. So
there it is.
Let's make it happen.
All right, cool. Well, thank you guys for joining us. Is there anything else you guys would like to add? A big congratulations on the big announcement and also the rebranding efforts.
Thank you.
We're really excited for Cidergrass coming up. People can start planning for that, putting that on the calendar. Once again, what's that date?
October 8th. That's
October
a Saturday.
8th.
Yep.
That's right.
It's also the last day of GABF.
All right.
So come and drink some cider after all that beer.
Yeah, drink some cider and then...
Or drink some pamo. Pamo?
Yeah, what is this that we're drinking right now?
So this is a pamo, P-O-M-M-E-A-W.
You.
Ryan can't spell.
I've had enough
single
pamo. I've had enough pamo that it's a W.
Mono you.
The script on this is crazy.
Come out!
Double
W. Double vision.
Come out and get some pamo!
So pamo is kind of something that we released, what was that, November, December last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, so pamo is an 18.2% product that we kind of release. Yeah, it's technically labeled as an apple dessert wine. So what we do is we take our cider, we distill it into a brandy, we age it in a port barrel for, 8 to 9 months, and then... We cut it with fresh juice to get it down to 18.%
Because it was 1,000,000,000%.
It was a lot. It was significantly higher
1
than that.
1,000,000,000%.
That's good. I mean, you guys are enjoying it.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
It's like the apple equivalent of port.
Yeah.
So after dinner, aperitif, dessert wine.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Or just drinking on a porch with while you're podcasting.
Right out of the bottle.
Yeah.
Really good as a cocktail mixer.
Oh, that's
nice.
Throw
a little bit of that on top of a mimosa or something. It's really good.
Yeah.
Oh, good to hear. Really
fantastic.
I think the last thing I'd like to add is if your favorite part of the podcast was the construction noise in the background, here at Stem Ciders, they're building a gigantic block-wide building. So all summer long, you can come out here, sit on our patio, listen to that noise.
And
yeah.
You can enjoy the sunset.
Get a little dusty.
Inhale the dust. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
It adds a little extra...
You
the cider.
You think you like space dust, but wait till you have construction dust presented by Stem Cider.
And this also
might be one of the brands coming out. We're not sure.
Also, we're gonna
literally terroir.
Also, a little breaking news. Once this apartment complex is built, Stem Cider is gonna be throwing up a ladder to their rooftop pool so that
grappling
you can grappling hook system and ladders. so that everyone can climb up on board and enjoy the pool.
Babes. Pool party.
Pool party late
babes.
At night.
Babes. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, babes or oh. babes. Babes with babes.
Babe with babes. And pamo!
Yeah.
I do think in this particular case, though, the view will actually improve once they get the building up. So.
Yeah, I'd be willing to say that your view is a lot better from Stemsiders patio.
Yeah. Cool. Well, just a reminder for everyone listening out there, be sure to check out stemsiders.com. That's right. Yep. And also be sure to follow us on all the various forms that you're listening to. If you're listening on iTunes, be sure to follow us there. Stitcher, what are the other things? What are the other the contraptions that people can listen
to? The other Stitcher.
I don't know. iTunes.
Yeah. Yep.
We just repeated the two things that we
tunes. Either like iTunes or Stitcher cassette or
tape,
you can find us on Stitcher or on iTunes. Either any of those.
This will definitely be on cassette tape at Wax Tracks.
Totally. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe you downloaded this off of what's that pirating site that you said?
Napster.
He's got old schooler.
Yeah. Follow us on Napster.
It'll only take 7 minutes to download this.
I heard that if you adopt a cat from the Cat Cafe on Tennyson, you get a free porch drinking.
Episode 25. The Porchcast comes with
or 24. It doesn't matter. Whichever one you like.
That sounds legit.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Just a reminder, be sure to check out First Draft Taproom and Kitchen. They are the adult froyo for your taste buds. They've got pour your own draft system, 40 beers, wines, and ciders on tap. You can go in and try a little pour of whatever you want or a big pour of whatever you want. It's all up to you. Try it out. First Draft Tap Room and Kitchen located at 26th and Larimer. And thanks so much once again to the Stemsiders team for joining us. Jesse Brookstein, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Corey Peltz.
Thank you, guys. Dad jokes are back.
And I'm Tristan Chan. Be sure to join us for episode 26 next time here on Porch Drinking. Porch Drinking's Porchcast.
There it is.
That's right.
Check you later.
Check you later.